His people, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We must be careful not to grieve or offend the Holy Spirit by our, now listen to this, blatant disobedience. Now, we mess up all the time, but if we are intentional, that changes things. If we sit back and go, I don't care what God says, I'm still going to do this. Church, you're walking on really shallow ground there. But here's the thing. He does not force himself on us against our wills. But if we resist and oppose him, then his empowering will depart and he will remove much of the blessings of God from our lives. On the other hand, if we conduct ourselves in a pleasing way, the Holy Spirit will be present to bring great blessing. We saw earlier, we talked about it, you saw a funny video. He was poured out to bring great blessing at Pentecost. And now dwells within those that believe. We can know close fellowship and partnership with the Spirit in our lives. He entrusts gifts to us. He gives us truth. He blesses us through ministry. So much is given to us from the Spirit, even our suffering is considered blessing. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The Holy Spirit pours out for our benefit, and how we respond directly reflects his actions, not because he doesn't care, but because he cares so greatly. So what does all this mean for us as believers? How should we respond to the Holy Spirit in our lives? One thing that I think has been made clear to me through seeing who he is and now what he does is that how we respond to him dictates our, for lack of a better word, success as a believer. When we apathetically cry out, Lord, where are you? Or why me? I think the immediate question has to be, but how have you been calling upon him all this time? We cannot expect immense blessings when we are not engaged to the urgings of the Holy Spirit all the time. That means if we aren't serving him through meaningful service, and what I mean by meaningful service, guys, is sometimes I feel like at times we can allow ourselves to do busy service. You know what I mean by that? Like we're just, you know what, I feel like I need to help someone, so I'm going to color little pictures to hand out. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? I don't want you to hear it. So if you colored pictures this last week in the handout today, I apologize. But the point is, he wants us out sharing him, proclaiming his name, outside of this building, inside of this building, committing ourselves to him. Some of that stuff is okay. He doesn't want us to do busy work. He wants us to be wholeheartedly knees deep serving him. And when we are not serving him through meaningful service, we can't expect his blessings. We must be using our gifts he gave us. Now, if he gave you the gift of awesome coloring, then that's one thing. But I don't know, that might be a hard one to back up. But he gave us the different gifts of teaching and hospitality and encouragement. And the list goes on and on. And if you're good at that and you're not doing it for his glory, you're not using your gift. If we aren't seeking his counsel and guidance, don't expect his blessings. If we aren't committing ourselves to following his instructions, embracing his fruits, and steering away from sinful behavior, don't expect his blessings. Is he here for us? Yes. Jesus sent him and endorsed the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Therefore, we should embrace him and all that comes with him. His ministry to us is immense. Another thing we need to be doing is deepening our relationship with him. One of my favorite books in all of Scripture is the book of Galatians. It's so rich. It's just so full of just amazing truth. And actually, after I became a believer when I was 18, one of the first verses that stuck out to me was Galatians 1:10. And basically, Paul is telling them, don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. People always let you down. God never does. If you would, turn to Galatians 4:9 for a second. He says, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Paul's just doing what he does. Have you ever thought about what it means to be known? I mean, think about it for a moment. When you know God and He knows you, He's willing to say, yes, I know them. I love them. Think about that. I think most of us go through life thinking we know God. And we're really, we know of Him. If I asked Him, if He knew you, what would He say? Are you acquaintances or are you intimate friends? Galatians 4 is where Paul explains the difference between being a slave and being a child of God. And he wanted them and us to know what truly enjoying the privileges won on the cross were all about. And he tells them in Galatians 4, 6, and 7, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Some amazing truth there that shows intimacy with God. And the Holy Spirit gifts this to us all. I don't know where each of us are. Maybe we're right in line with this, or maybe we're sitting there like, I don't experience any of that ever. And I wish there was like an easy five-step process that I could give to connect everybody with the Holy Spirit, but there isn't one. But as we bring things to a close today, I want to suggest two obstacles in your life to consider. Comfort and Valium. I can attest in my own life that the closest I have ever felt to God are times in which His presence for me was out of necessity. Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit comes through for us in times of fear and need, and we find Him in those moments of desperation. He is our helper and counselor. Let Him be that. When our lives are filled with comfort, how much do we need Him? Francis Chan tells this amazing story about being comforted by the Spirit. He says, I recently had dinner in Seoul, Korea with an amazing man. He's one of 23 missionaries who were held hostage by the Taliban in Afghanistan in July 2007. The Taliban executed two of the missionaries before a deal was reached with the government of South Korea, and the other missionaries were after released. This man told me about the horrors of being locked up in a cell, knowing that martyrdom was a strong possibility. He also shared about the amazing time they had on the last day they were all in prison together. Their captors later divided them into smaller groups of three and took them to remote areas. Each of the 23 missionaries surrendered their lives to God that night and told Him they were willing to die for His glory. There was even an argument over who would get to die first. One of them had a small Bible that the missionaries secretly ripped into 23 pieces so each could glance at Scripture when no one was watching. The Word of God and the Spirit of God got them through the 40 days of imprisonment. One of the most fascinating things this man told me was about what happened since then. Now that they have been back in Seoul for a while, several members have asked him, don't you wish we were still there? He tells me that several of them experienced a deep kind of intimacy with God in the prison cell that they haven't been able to recapture in the comfort of their day-to-day lives. This is the precious gift of intimacy that the Holy Spirit offers us. It is a security that is priceless and worth any loss of safety and comfort. The second thing is volume. We have allowed our lives and our world to become so filled that finding true intimacy with Him is the most difficult thing for us. Though Jesus didn't have to deal with emails, voicemails, text messages, etc., He did understand what it was like to be pursued by lots of people. He knew that he had to get away to spend time with his Father. He took the time to focus and be quiet. Church, our lack of intimacy is due to our refusal to unplug and shut off from all others so we can be alone with him. We like to make excuses. Well, I got to take pictures for people. I got to post on Facebook. Do we want a strong, deep kind of relationship with him? Is that the desire of our hearts? If so, then we have to learn to say no to things that distract us from him. No to busyness, no to activities, no to laziness. Adults, that means you have to disconnect yourselves from your job sometimes. Turn off your phone. Let those around you know what your plan is and say, I'm taking time to spend with him. This means alone with him, not with a group or your spouse, but alone with God. Adults, we are to be an example for those younger than us. Parents, teach your kids how to unplug. Show them what it means and how valuable time alone with God is. Stop letting them ignore that time and stop letting and allowing them to fill their schedules up with so much that alone time with God is nearly impossible. Church, we cannot ignore the call for a relationship with the Spirit and then sit back and wonder why we don't feel him and our kids don't care. We need to decrease the junk, the stuff we just fill up our lives because busyness is fun, and increase the amount of God in it through the Holy Spirit. And as we wrap things up, have you allowed your life to be so comfortable on a daily basis you don't need to call upon the Holy Spirit? How are you seeking him for guidance, teachings, instructions, and conviction of sin? Have you let your life, your kids' lives, become so filled up, so busy, that you don't have time to slow down and have meaningful, alone moments with him regularly? We need the Holy Spirit. He is the driving force behind the presence of God in our lives. We can leave this place today going, all right, that was pretty good. He talked forever, but it was all right. We'll talk more maybe at Life Group this week. That's great. It's awesome. But the real question is, are you going to make meaningful change in your life at the urging of the Holy Spirit so your relationship deepens and you begin to see the outward workings and presence of God? It's up to you. He's not going to make you do it. You have a choice today. Say yes to intimacy with him, or you can say no and keep doing what you're doing with little to no results. Thankfully for you, he won't force you. He'll let you decide. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you give us. Lord, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we thank you for the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let your words from your scriptures echo in our minds and our hearts and change us so that we see the work of you in our lives, that we see the work of you in our kids' lives, and our friends' lives, and that you are undeniable to those that we come in contact with. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.